Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Russ Avison right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is yet another Thursday evening in beautiful downtown Sherman Oaks, California. This is LA Talk Radio, and you're listening to The Writer's Block. My name is Jim Christina. I'm your host for this little soiree. Sitting in the studio tonight with our temporary co-host, actually occasional co-host.
Does that mean that's going to change soon?
No, never.
As a never
I won't let you go anywhere.
All right.
Russ Avison. So, hi, Russ.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
Good, man. Good, man. We got so much stuff going on tonight. We got a great guest in the studio, and we're going to get to her in just a moment. We've got a few things we need to announce, and one of them is, of course, the Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, the nice folks at Black Dog. They're there to help you navigate the publishing field and edit and whatever you need. So we're there, and the number there is 805-795-3165. And by Out West, that's a boutique and cultural center, and that's your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and Western lifestyle. And they have hats, fashion accessories, home decor, books, music, and general merchandise. National brands include Scully Leather Company, Rock Mount Ranchwear, Dan Post Boots, and American West Handbags, just to name a few. And their number is, write this down, 877-340.
Wait, let me get my pen. Start again.
877-340-9378. And Bobby, if you heard that, that was Russ, not me. Okay. And also by Target Freight Management. And Target Freight, since 2009, I've had a truckload service that's the best in the industry. Not only are they the very best at what they do, but they strive to make your shipping experience with a full truck unparalleled. Call TFM, Target Freight Truckload, today at 844-653-7789. Ask for Mike Matruski. Tell him you heard it on the Writer's Block, and TFM will have a little something extra for you. And if you're an LTL shipper, getting your freight moved your way, the most expedient way possible is what you want. One stop, no hassle. Call Target Freight Management today. Their customized traffic program is the best in the industry. So call them, 888-653-1323, or go to targetfmi.com on the web for both truckload and LTL. Call today. Okay, June 17th, I have a book signing coming up. 10 to 2 at the $5 Less Bookstore in Simi Valley on Cochran. It's, I think it's 2880 A is the unit number on Cochran Avenue in Simi. And I'd be love to have you in there. Richard Polinelli is going to be joining me. The thing is sponsored by Black Dog Publishing and Tuscany Bay Publishing, which is Richard's company. And we're going to be talking about writing and agents and publishing and just all kinds of stuff in Simi Valley. And there's something really cool happening in the book industry right now. And I don't know if anybody is aware of it, but they're now putting together bookstores for indie publishers,
really?
indie writers. And it's really, really, really a boon. Because hereto now, there hasn't been any bookstores that really carried any indie work. And now there's a couple bookstores. There's one, I believe, in Ohio, and there's one in Lomita, California, called The Pipe and Thimble. And it's new. Richard has just put some books down there. The Bookie and I are going down tomorrow to talk to them. We're actually going to try to get them to do a little bit of advertising on the Writer's Block. And it's a great place if you're an indie writer and you need some place to market your stuff, give them a call. Well, actually, you can't call them. You have to email them. And they'll send you an application, and you can ship them books. They prefer they're signed. And there's a whole contract there, but it's not a bad deal. So if that's what you want to do, go for it. Okay, tonight.
Did anybody tell you talk a lot?
I do. Well, it's a radio show, Russ. It's what we do. We talk. It's a talk show.
We'll have to finish our game of cards here later.
you guys are like, you know. All right, short bio. Here we go. Our guest tonight is a young lady from way the hell up north. up between, what did you say, Donner Pass and Reno?
That's right.
Oh.
160 people.
Yeah, Iron Horse.
600 foot of snow this year?
Yes.
I know. I was following you on Facebook, and you were complaining bitterly about you just got everything shoveled, and it snowed another 3 feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and the shoveling in this show is just starting.
Oh, it's just now getting going. Our guest tonight is a young lady that's written a terrific book. I have to say that I love this book. And she's written nonfiction articles, short stories, poetry, appear in numerous Colorado and California publications, small press magazines, and anthologies. Dragon Moon Press in Canada recently published her debut novel, The Raven's Daughter, shortlisted for the CCC Great Novel Contest. Okay, CCC meaning?
I don't know.
Jesus.
I thought it was like the Columbia Creative Cooperative.
Whatever. Okay. We're good to go. We're good to go. We'll go with that.
Okay.
Dragon Moon Press is also publishing her next three, and that's something we're going to talk about tonight because you just signed that contract.
Yes, I did.
The Splendid and Extraordinary Life of Butimus is due very soon for release. She earned a BA in English from UCLA and MA in Creative Writing from California State University, Northridge. So you're a local girl.
Yeah.
One of 12 students and the only undergraduate chosen to study with Robert Pinsky, former Poet Laureate of the United States. Wow, that's very cool. I'm just going to let her get into a good part of this right now. But please welcome to the Writer's Block, Miss Peggy Wheeler.
Thank you.
All right, kids, settle down. Settle down.
All right, so UCLA.
UCLA, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Go on.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
See, we got lots in common.
But you also did Cal State Northridge, did I hear?
I did. And I actually went to Moore Park College before.
Whoa.
Yeah, not far
from. Which is also great. Did you work in the zoo?
I did not work in the zoo, but I spent a lot of time down there.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine. I mean, I've seen some of the guys that hang out at Moore Park.
They all belong in the zoo.
That is the zoo.
We read The Raven's Daughter.
Yes.
And Russ and I both agreed. What a terrific story.
Thank you.
For a first novel, it was really good. Really good.
I think it'd be okay for like a fourth or fifth novel.
It would have been terrific if it had been our 100th novel.
Yeah.
But, wow, what a story.
Thank you.
What a story. I love stories about shape-shifting anyway.
Yeah.
So, but it grabs you, and it just don't let go until the end of the book.
Thank you.
That's what we like.
Yeah, you really, it was about, like, to the last page.
Yeah, last paragraph.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
We did.
Good.
We did. It's really a well-written, well-crafted story. Got great people in it. It's just like the protagonist is kind of like hanging around. She's been everywhere.
She's a tough gal.
She's a tough.
I like her.
She's a hardcore chick.
Yeah. There are people who do not like her, but I love her.
Oh, I think she was great. And you know, we kind of figured the whole way through. I was kind of guessed that she and we're gonna hook. Yeah. I don't want to give away too much of the story.
She was, to me, I've read all the Sue Grafton books. Mm-hmm. Sue Grafton. She does the Kinsey Millhone.
Yeah.
Book. And this, your character is kind of like a more gritty Kinsey Millhone. You know, I kind of like that. Yeah, she's her own woman.
Oh, that's for sure.
Doubt. That's what I really liked about her.
That's for sure. Well, she's half Indian and half Northern Irish.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And she does like to drink.
Yes, she does. She really
well,
does.
Well, that's the Northern Ireland in her.
I was going to say, I enjoyed that part of her.
What do you like to be drinking?
There were a few other things about her that I thought, gee, why couldn't I meet her in high school?
I know, huh? I think I did, but then she moved. On purpose.
So, you know, obviously, we want to keep a lot under wraps so people will read this book. But one of the things that's not going to ruin anything is about the raven.
Yes.
But my first question is, what's the difference between a raven and a crow?
Oh my gosh. Okay, ravens are larger. They make different noises. They have a different type.
Wait, I think we need. Is her
can
mic?
Can you hear
she
me?
She sounds
okay?
Like a little.
Well, I think she also needs to climb on top of it,
Alrighty,
and
sorry,
I'll boost her just a little bit here.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
All right. Okay. So
it's like a booster chair.
Ravens are larger. They make different sounds. Crows only make a caw sound, but there's probably a half a dozen or more noises that a raven makes. Their tails are different. They're kind of like a fan.
Really?
And when they fly, they're silent. Crows are noisy. You can hear the flapping of the wings, and they caw.
A lot when they're flying, right?
Right. So, yeah, they're very much alike in some ways, but different in others. They're not the same bird.
Okay, and very intelligent.
Very.
Ravens are very smart birds, yes.
So are crows, though. I mean, they have that in common. They're very intelligent. We used to have a place in Weaverville, California, another place, Leah, and we had large dogs that would run in the yard, and the ravens would dive bomb them for fun. And they're very smart, very playful. They remember faces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite animals, so...
Okay, very good.
Well, it's not unusual that you would pick that animal.
No, I've always loved them.
Well, you can come and take them all out of my yard because I have probably 50,000 of them hanging out.
Oh, and yeah, and they'll eat everything and kill other birds and.
Oh yeah,
I was. Had brought to mind. Not that the books are connected by story in any way, but the book, "The Art of Racing in the Rain."
I love that. Oh, it made me cry.
Wasn't it a great book?
Yes,
but. In the book, the lab, remember the crows? He hated crows, and he thought there was no reason that crows should exist on this planet, you know? And so I was just thinking about that when I started the book. This story, someone asked me, well, what's the book about? And tell me if I've got this right. It's a story about a small town in California. A woman who is retired police has kind of decided that she's retiring there. And there have been a string of murders that have been going on that is unusual because they're all twins and are all kids.
Right.
And she is then, by some circumstances and the people she knows, she's asked and kind of more sucked back in to help solve the murder mystery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it takes so many twists. And then there's this one part that involves the raven that we won't get into, but the ravens are involved in this.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
They're really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, her mother is, like we said, her mother was Indian.
Yes.
And her father was from Northern Ireland.
Right.
And he escaped back to Northern Ireland, and I think he was killed there. Wasn't
yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And blew up. Her brother is there, and then his son and his wife and his daughters.
Right.
Which are also twins.
Yes.
And her brother and she are twins.
Yes.
And this is, there's a twin connection here. Can you want to tell us, our listeners, what that is?
Sure. I've always been fascinated by twins. And one of my closest friends, I don't know if she's listening this evening, but she and her brother, they're twins. They share a home together in fact, I'm going to go and visit them in a couple of days. But I've always been fascinated by the twin dynamic.
Mm-hmm. So are most men.
So, well,
that's for a different show. But
why not make it now?
So you work with dogs or you are a dog?
Little of both.
Yeah, whatever you choose.
Little of both.
A little of both. But, yeah, I've always been fascinated because they're so different, their personalities. Mm-hmm. Or they can be, yet they're still very close, bound together, as my friend Lee said of his sister, Meta, who's my good, good friend. We shared a womb. So there can be no one closer than the two of us. And that's really fascinating to me, that whole thing. I think it'd be very different, but very protective of one another, very much the same in some respects. But I'm just fascinated by twins. I'd always wished I'd had twins. I had one
sure.
daughter.
let me also give the number here in case anyone wants to call in and talk to Peggy tonight, especially her friends, who I'm sure are listening. The number here is 818-602-4929. Again, that number is 818-602-4929. 29, and that puts you right into the studio. And if I can figure out how to answer it, I may answer the phone.
Yeah, he's not really tech savvy. Yeah.
No, but I'm a fairly decent writer, so I suppose I'd make up for it somewhere.
There you go. So, you know, it was interesting that you mentioned I do train dogs. We also breed border collies. And tying this in with twins is very interesting. With border collies, when we have a litter of puppies, and at first, the first time I saw it, I thought it was just coincidence. But let's say you have six puppies born, and you have two red ones, two black and white ones, and two what we call Merle.
Okay,
which is kind of a mix. And you'll go in. Now, this is at an age before the puppies have opened their eyes, before they can see or hear.
Yes.
And you will find them sleeping. The two red ones will be together.
No kidding.
The two black and whites and the two Merles. And we see that a lot. And it's really interesting because we can't figure out how they know which one is which. But again, coming from the same womb, and I think there's some sort of energy, there's something just the same way that twins are drawn. I have my sister has I've a niece and a nephew that are twins.
Okay, so you
and there's a very interesting connection between them.
You know,
one's definitely brighter than the other. Hopefully, they're not listening because they'll know which one they are. But
the bright one will know.
Yeah, the
well, you know, it's they even say that. Well, some twins develop their own language.
Yes.
And some twins are just so incredibly that their parents can't even tell them apart.
Wow.
That would be the kind I'd want to be.
Yes.
Because we could pull so many
much
things.
Fun.
Yes.
Oh, you could be screwing with everybody.
Yes.
Especially if you had to go to the principal's office.
Yeah.
Send your sister.
Yeah.
We had a kind of two sets of twins in high school, I think.
I know.
And they were insane. I mean, they used to dress alike and nobody could tell them apart.
No.
Mothers always know, though. I don't know how they know.
I don't know. It's a mom thing.
But there was also another city. Not this is a fictional place that you're talking about, but there was another place that has a huge incidence of twins.
Mm-hmm.
And that is?
I cannot pronounce the name. It's in Brazil. And I had to do a lot of research on this place. And Mengele was there. And they do think that the high incidence of twins had to do something with the experiments that he was doing on twins.
The genetic research that they were doing, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the fictional place, though, that I set this is actually based on a real place I used to live, Weaverville, California.
Okay.
So I just changed it to Wicklow, but a lot of those places that I talk about in the story actually do exist, just slightly different names.
I did like the fact that I forgot which one of the characters used to go. Was it John that used to take her to Morro Bay?
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned Morro Bay, which is one of my favorite places on the planet. I go there every month or two.
Yep.
So I was very happy I saw that. Yeah. Okay, Morro Bay, she's all right.
Yeah. We know where Morro Bay is.
I love that place, too. That would have been her lover, the one that was at UCLA teacher.
Ah, that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Found and he was married.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're not going to give away any more of the story now.
Okay.
How long did it take you to write this?
I started writing it in 2012.
Okay.
And I wrote the first draft, I think, in about 3 months. But I redrafted and rewrote and redrafted and rewrote. And I think I sent it out to, I think, around 80 or 90 different agents and publishers and before Dragon Moon picked it up. But it took me, from the time that I started until the day that I turned it in to my publisher who has it now, 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah. 3 years to write the first draft, but I mean 3 months to write the first draft, but it's the rewrites, it's the editing that takes so much time.
Well, editing is... I sometimes think that editors over-edit.
Yes.
Well, in fact, Richard and I have talked about that on the air before.
Right.
That some editors tend to, and Ona Russell was one that was really good with this because she was on a couple weeks ago and she was talking about over editing too.
Yeah.
Editors tend to get in there and just try to change everything.
Right.
And that's not your premise. And that's when you start fighting with your editors and start firing them.
Yeah, not your book anymore.
Yeah, it's not yours, and why even bother with it anymore? You know, finish it up, get it out, and move on to the next one.
Right.
You know, don't use the same editor again.
Right, exactly.
How close, because I'm not a writer, how close was your original script, your manuscript, to the final product?
Actually, it changed quite a bit. The beginning, the end, and the backstory all changed.
Oh, did
as I worked on it. I kept getting different ideas, and I kept finding plot holes that I couldn't fill unless I changed some of the story or the backstory. So it took I would say that it wasn't considerably different. You would recognize the story.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that you would not recognize it. It's just that it did go through a lot of major shifts before I finished it until I felt really happy with it.
Now, this is your first novel.
This is my first novel.
But you've been writing before this.
Oh, yes, my whole life. And, in fact, I have a nonfiction book called The Onum Glyphs that has to do with archetypal symbols and oracles. And I had an agent for that. She's still a very good friend, Denise Dumars, if you're listening. Thank you very much for taking that on. We didn't sell it. But I am now changing it to a piece of fiction. So it's going to be written by a fictional character. It's going to be my Butimus Potamus book coming up.
Uh-huh.
It'll be written by her. So
cool.
So it's going to be an oracle that she developed. So, yeah, I've been writing forever. I was a technical writer for about 20 years, and I've written a lot of articles. So, poetry. Poetry was a big deal for me for a lot of years. I can't remember when I wasn't writing.
Wow.
I mean, even a little kid.
I used to write poetry, but then I ran out of worms that I could rhyme.
What a crime.
Yeah, it's a rhyme. Yeah, what? There you go.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, no, he's fast.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me write that
one. You're the smart twin, right?
That's right. Well, that only because I killed the other one.
He's the smart one. He's the smart one, but the ugly one.
That's face made for radio.
Always, always, always hit the punchline when you got a mouthful of water.
That's right.
Hey, do you find that when you're writing and you're getting near the end of a chapter and you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I got this one section that is just, it's bugging me.
Right.
And you go back and you look at it and you go, that's because I didn't explain anything. You
right.
know, so you go back and you start inserting paragraphs and inserting sentences, and
right.
you know, I find myself doing. In fact, I did that today. I find myself doing that occasionally, not always, but mm-hmm. sometimes. And it just makes the story better. I think you know,
oh, yeah.
the more you can add.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's you don't want to over explain. You don't want to do a data
no.
dump. But on the other hand, you want to make sure that the reader gets what it is that you need for them to get.
Right.
And they're not inside your head. So
right. We had a discussion last week with the writer that was on with us about descriptive writing.
Uh-huh.
And his premise was that there's a lot of writers that now that, well, the old writers like Steinbeck and
mm-hmm.
used to really, everything was described
yeah.
down to the color of the nibs on the shoelaces.
Right.
Modern writers tend to try to get everything done in a short paragraph.
Right. There's a reason for that.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Because attention span is shortened.
That's right.
And
they can't read long books.
That's why books are no longer 90,000 words. No. They're down to 40 and 50,000 words.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But and you can tell the same story. It's just a lot quicker.
Yes.
Well, also, there's the other part that how much do you want the reader to fill in with his own imagination?
Well, that was also brought up, yes. And that's a very good point,
yeah.
Russ, is you want the reader to be able to see his own picture of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if you tell him too much, then he's locked into your imagination, and that's not where you want him to be.
Right.
So you know.
How is the experience of writing fiction versus nonfiction? What do you find more fulfilling or more fun?
Well, I really love writing fiction because I like telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a technical writer and writing articles, it's a lot of research. It can be fun, but it's a lot of tedium, too, because you have to make sure that your research is right on spot and it's not your story. It's somebody else's stuff that
mm-hmm.
you're sharing,
yeah.
whether or not it's How to Train a Dog or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The how-to books, by the way, sell really well. You might want to try one.
I keep trying to talk him into it, but he won't do it.
Yeah, well, he can get some help. I'll help him.
Sure. I volunteered.
Yeah.
All right.
I volunteered to have Black Dog Publishing do it for free.
You know something? You must really like him.
I do.
Well,
he trained my dog.
Okay. Well,
actually, I've hypnotized your dog.
And
if
actually,
you don't behave, I could change.
And actually, I paid him for that.
Yeah.
No, it's
sad,
it's
but true.
it's a different process. process, and it requires mm-hmm. different part of the brain, I think, to write fiction versus nonfiction. But fiction is you're starting with a blank page, and you have to make up everything.
Exactly.
Not to say that there isn't a lot of research. I did a lot of research
sure.
for this book, for all my books. But it's research to back up the story that you're telling,
right.
not to back up facts or somebody else's story or something like that. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but
you don't want somebody to be different. Reading a page and suddenly go, wait a minute, that's not right. That doesn't happen that way.
Right.
Because then you pull them out of the story and
right.
suddenly it's like, ah.
right.
now they're thinking.
Right.
right.
So you have to do research. I spent quite a bit of time studying Yurok mythology. And one of the reasons why I did is when we lived up in Weaverville, there were Yuroks. Up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, the Wintu are mostly up there, but there are Yuroks and other northern tribes.
Modoks. And
oh, yeah, a lot. I spent, we used to go to a bear dance. That's what the bear dance is.
Right.
And George Walking Bear. I'll host a bear dance on 16 acres right on the river, and I patterned it right after that. But the Yurok women there taught me how to process the white oak, the white, yeah. The, what am I trying to say? They taught me to process acorns in the back of a toilet.
Really?
So that's where that came from.
Interesting.
Huh. So,
wow.
Yeah, but a lot of research. But it's a different type of research, just to back up a story. It's to
mm-hmm.
back
right.
up something, your own mythology.
Right, right.
You know?
You'll find, I just gave you that mm-hmm. book today called The Return, and you'll find in the second half of it, there's a lot of Cajun.
Oh, I love that.
And, well, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the dialogue, right?
Because
right.
of the dialogue, and the dialects have to be right on.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
And I also have a little bandy Englishman or Irishman in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that dialect's right on,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
But I totally get, because I did, today I was writing on my new book called Jonah Blue, mm-hmm. and they have dealings with the Yakima.
Okay.
Which was a nation in central Washington.
That's right, yeah.
And they were very warlike.
Mm-hmm.
And I researched the Yakima language, which is a dialect of all the Plains tribes.
Right.
You know, it was a combination of Cheyenne and Shoshone and mm-hmm. Sioux and Nez Perce and all mixed in together.
Uh-huh.
So I had to kind of research, because the chief doesn't speak English.
Oh,
and Jonah, being a mountain man, speaks Yakima.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So
you had to have him speak. Yeah, that's getting the dialect and getting languages right is hard.
Hard.
You have to do it right, because it'd be disrespectful not to.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what happened with the Cajun. That was a rough one.
Okay.
I would like to ask both of you this question.
Okay.
Because as I'm listening to you discuss the background research and how pure to detail you want to be, and also that you want to show respect
mm-hmm.
if you're talking about a certain a tribe or something, mm-hmm. you want to make it accurate. How do you feel about a writer like James Patterson, who puts out he puts out, what, 3-4 books a year?
Yes, he does.
He usually co-writes them with someone else.
Yes. Well, they do most of the writing.
That's
and
my
he puts
thought
name
too.
On it.
They
but,
do the writing.
But they follow, you know, he follows a formula
right.
pretty much. I mean, how do you, and you know, not that you have to worry that they're going to come back and slant things bad against you, but how do you feel about that writing versus what you're doing? Because I see, from a non-writer, I see a huge difference.
Oh, me too. My friend Peter Shireko, who is, he's a Western aficionado, but his thing is, if you write one book, you're a writer.
Yeah.
You write two books, three books, four books, you're an author.
Okay.
You write more than five. Uh-huh. You're a hack.
Oh, no.
Interesting.
So he sits at the Cowboy Festival and he looks at me and he goes, "You're a hack." I said, "Well, what about James Patterson?"
Yeah.
But see, with James Patterson.
What about Stephen King?
James Patterson. Well,
who
James,
I respect.
So
yes, because he does all his own work. Well, he did one or two novels with
right.
Peter Straub.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just did one with Richard Chismar.
Oh, okay.
And he's actually my Facebook friend. And Richard published some of Stephen King's books, but they just co-wrote a book together. I think it's called Gwendy's Button Box. I haven't picked it up yet, but I'm going to.
I used to be a huge Stephen King fan, but then he just got so, like, way out in left field for
me. Yeah,
he
does. Yeah.
So I think the last one I really liked was The Stand.
Oh, yeah. That's one of his best.
Yeah. Well, the most recent one I read from him was called 11/22/63.
Oh, I love that book.
That was amazing.
I love that book.
Yeah. Did you read it?
No,
Jim.
It's
a time travel book, but also really centers around the Kennedy assassination, uh-huh. which was November
22nd. Oh, 11/22/63. Sure. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. But it's a great story.
It's well done. There's a little romance in there and a lot of history. It's really fascinating.
And it's about 500 or 600 pages.
It's huge.
It's a big one.
We have a caller.
Uh-oh.
Let's find out who's got on the line here.
It's James Patterson. You leave me alone.
Patterson. Hi, you're on the Writer's Block. Who am I speaking to?
Oh, hi. This is Denise Dumars.
Well, hello. Are you a friend of Peggy's?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, she's sitting right here grinning from ear to ear.
Hi, Denise. Summoning a demon. When you mention them, they show up.
You know what? That's amazingly true.
Denise is an incredible writer, too.
Really?
And she teaches. Hi. She teaches. I was at Harvard College. Where do you teach, Denise?
Yeah, hi.
Hi there. Can you hear okay?
Yeah. Okay. I actually have a question.
Sure.
It's funny. I'm listening to what I just said.
Oh, well, turn it down. Turn it down.
Yeah. Turn it down. Okay, I've got.
I can hear it in the background.
Little lappy toppy.
Yeah, it's right. About 6 second delay.
Okay,
I shut it down so I can listen to this on the phone then.
Right, and then tomorrow or tonight you'll be able to listen to the podcast and you'll be able to hear it.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
All right. So I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. I have a friend named Greg Castro, and he's an Olone Indian, and he always he's like a consultant for writers, especially science fiction writers, and he always says that, you know, with Native American stuff, even if you get it right, that you should ask whether
yes.
it's something you should write about.
Yes.
And I was wondering if when you were talking with the Yurok and the Wintu and everything, if there was anything that you know, basically they said, yeah, it's cool to do this, but it's not cool to talk about that. Was there anything like that came up?
That's a great question.
You know, that is a great question. No, I never got that. And when I did talk, or when we did go to the bear dances, and I did talk to the native peoples there, and all of them seemed to be very open and forthcoming. None of them were telling me anything that was particularly deep or spiritual. It was mostly how you process acorns, or you know, how you tan a hide. It was things of that nature. So I think that was okay. I think it would not have been okay had they been telling me about or sharing things about what happens in a talking circle or a sacred place. But the bear dance, everybody was invited. Everyone knew what that was about. It's pretty well publicized in terms of what bear dances are. There's nothing sacred or secret that was going on that I didn't feel comfortable in talking about, and I haven't not gotten any pushback. Even my Native American friends seemed to like the book okay. They didn't see anything in there that bothered them. So,
that's
anyway.
Cool. Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, I just wondered because a lot of times people are really into getting something right.
Right.
But the whole thing that Greg was telling me is, yeah, you might be getting it right, but is it something that you should be talking about?
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was my whole question was there anything you asked them and they said, no, don't talk about this or whatever?
Well, don't you kind of think, though, that is more in touch with the spiritual side of things? Because the Indians are incredibly spiritual.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
and,
yeah, sure.
And I think that if you touch on their spirituality and some of their gods and their beliefs, then I think probably you better get permission from the tribe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I thought that, you know, because of you know, the character in the novel, when she goes to the bear dance and stuff, you know, stuff happens.
Right.
Don't want to give anything away, but I mean, you know, supernatural stuff happens. It's a spiritual experience.
Sure.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Did you like the book?
I love the book, of course.
Oh, there you go.
<It's>
you know,
awesome.
you can't buy friendship.
Denise used to be a literary agent. She worked for Ashley Grayson.
Okay.
She's no longer agenting, but she was my first agent. But I've known her for 33 years, Denise.
Oh, my God, has it been that long?
Yeah.
Hey, if you're a writer, why don't you get a hold of our booking person, and we'll get you on the air next year?
Yes.
Oh, Oh, I would love that.
We're booked solid through the third week in January now. So, but if
okay,
it's
okay, well, you never know. I might have a new book out by then.
Well, the email address is guest, G-U-E-S-T, W-B, at yahoo.com.
Okay, say it again. G-U-E-S.
Guest, as in you're a guest in my home, W-B for Writer's Block, at yahoo.com.
Okay, Yahoo.
And
okay.
The bookie's name
also,
is Jerry.
I live in the South Bay.
Okay.
And you mentioned the place in Lomita, which is like 10 minutes from where I live. I couldn't quite catch the name of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Store. It's the Pipe and Thimble.
Pipe and Thimble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're fairly new. They are in on the internet, so you can find them there.
Okay.
In fact, I'll be going down tomorrow, so.
All right. Well, I'm super jazzed that you have Peggy on your show.
Oh, me too.
I'm really happy I managed to get through on the phone. And
we've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Yeah. So I've been listening live. So I think what I'll do is I'll hang up and I'll go back to listening live.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Denise.
Call in.
Have a fun time. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
And again, if you want to call in and talk to Peggy, another one of her friends, perhaps. The number here is 818.
She'll use them all up tonight.
She will. 602-4929. You know, we only get two friends.
That's it.
If you're lucky in life, you have two friends.
That's it.
So, there you go. What were we talking about before we were so rudely interrupted?
I don't know.
Oh, God. That was nice.
Yeah. No, Denise, I'm not serious. I'm just
kidding.
Yeah, I'm kidding, of course. I've got a big grin on my face.
I had another question.
Sure.
In writing this, the dialogue, to me, was very honest, very... I could see the characters saying these words. It was never a question that this was awkward. When you write, do you visualize the scenes, or is it just all on paper? I mean, how do you, what's the process?
I hear the characters' voices in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see
there's treatment for that, you know.
I think I'm on some of that.
They have pills for that.
Did you bring any extras?
Yeah, I got some little pink pills.
Or a flask.
Yeah.
Well, I visualize the characters. Mm-hmm. I imagine what their voices sound like, and I hear that in my head before I speak. And I, before I write.
Sure.
And very often I'll read out loud what I have written to see if it rings true.
You do that too?
Absolutely. Yeah. They have to.
Yeah, because if you don't, sometimes if you do, you're going to catch mistakes. If you don't, I don't think the dialogue rings as true.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to read out loud and feel what the character might be feeling. So you sort of get into character.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, it gets a good question, Russ, mm-hmm. because, you know, dialogue, everybody speaks in a different pentameter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everybody speaks in a pentameter.
Right.
But everybody's is different. So each character has their own way of speaking.
That's right.
And if you're not following that through the entire book, you've lost it.
That's right.
You know, it's just the way that... Your other friend's calling.
Uh-oh.
Hi, welcome to the Writer's Block. This is Jim. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, how you doing? This is Larry calling from Dallas.
Oh, hi, Larry. How are you?
Hi, Larry.
I'm pretty good.
You're on the air with Peggy Wheeler.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, how you doing? I'm actually Larry Yoakum from Facebook. I don't know if you know.
Larry. Oh, Larry. I know you. Larry Yoakum the third, right?
There are two more of us out there.
Well, so nice to talk to you. Thank you for calling.
I felt like an idiot. I misdialed the number. I called like four times.
Oh.
And I looked at my phone. I thought, I got to quit drinking at night.
Why?
Why? You can have your own radio show.
I think we're going to do one of those shows one of these times.
What makes you think we haven't?
It's true. Anyway, do you have a question for Peggy or a comment or just to say hi?
Oh, I just really wanted to call and say hi, and I'm looking forward to getting some more of your books.
Thank you.
Oh, me too.
Thank you.
I do love The Raven's Daughter, and I can't wait to get some more.
Okay, well, I am writing the sequel.
I want to see Maggie out there kicking some more butt.
Okay.
Oh, y'all do.
Okay.
I want to see that Raven pecking some eyes out.
Thank you, Larry. Go. It's so nice. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah, and let me know, because I'm bribing everybody. So they said if they call in, they get a free audio.
That's right.
Or so let me know. Well, send me a text. Or
Larry, I don't know if you keep up with Peggy here. I read her post, what was that, a couple, three, 4 days ago about she hit 5,000 Facebook fans,
yes.
And she had to dump some.
I'm not dumping any.
And she said, and I wrote to her, and I says, well, look, I says, you know, don't dump me, because it'll be a really, really awkward interview.
Oh yeah.
No, I think I said that I blocked one guy because he was being just kind of. A
oh, guy, I you know, actually blocked my sister. So.
Don't you?
You too, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Larry,
well, there's a lot of chuckleheads out there. Yep.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks for calling in, Larry.
Okay. I appreciate that, and look forward to seeing more of your stuff, and y'all have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Okay, bye. Thanks for calling, Larry. That's pretty nice. Yeah. Now who's going to call? Actually, you know what? Tonight is our 100th live show.
Yay. Wait a minute.
That's kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, we have a little clap. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Yay. Let's give a little clap here.
Yeah, 100th.
It really is. It's our 100. We've done more than 100, but we've done repeats. So yeah. This is our 100th live show.
Wow. I'm on
2 years, and you're on it. Last week was our 2 year anniversary.
Oh my gosh, 2 years.
And we're rocking. I mean, we're, like I said, the bookies got us booked up through mid January.
I'm so excited.
Well, me too. And we got some great guests.
I think her goal is to get 1 year ahead. Mm-hmm. And then she's
quit.
Going on vacation.
And then she's going to leave me.
Yeah.
Hang on, I think we have Henry Park on the line here.
Okay.
Do we have Henry Park on the line right now?
It certainly is.
Hey, Henry. What do you say, pal?
Hey, your 100th live show. Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. And look, you've been a big part of it.
Well, I've probably been on like 40.
Well, yeah, I would say.
Uh-huh. Well, hey, I've been enjoying the show very much, and just want to fill you in on what's happening with Henry's Western Roundup.
Okay, then.
The exciting Western things.
Western in Western kind of way.
That's right, partner. Well, seriously, there's a lot of interesting events coming up that I'll be covering in the Roundup, and some that I want to make sure people hear about before it's too late.
Okay.
You know, tomorrow would have been John Wayne's 110th birthday.
No. That is that. Oh, yeah. I read that. You did a blog of some sort, and I read that not too long ago.
It must be true, then, because I wrote it.
Yep.
Well, now, INSP has been celebrating Duke's birthday every Sunday in May.
Right.
This Sunday, they're going to be playing a pair of his best Howard Hawks movies, Rio Bravo, which is on a lot of lists as best Western ever, and El Dorado, which is in many ways a remake
of Rio Bravo, right.
In the Dean Martin role, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're also showing his last and one of his finest, The Shootist, that our old pal Miles Swarthout wrote.
Yes. Miles.
Speaking of Duke's birthday being tomorrow, in honor of that, the Western radio drama Powder Burns begins its second season tomorrow.
Does it?
Yeah. Now, have you ever had a chance to listen to it?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's a really interesting show. David Gregory created it. It's about a Civil War officer who comes back unscathed from the war, then returns to his lawman job and loses his son and is blinded in a freak hunting accident.
Wow.
He's finishing off his term. He's blind, so he's being helped by his deputies. But he starts to think it may not have been an accident at all. So he's investigating it. Well, just like the real reason they decided to have the character blind was to introduce people who have never listened to dramatic radio mm-hmm. to the idea that you have to see everything in your head.
Right.
Anyway, for season one, he managed to get, as a special guest star, Robert Vaughn, last of the Magnificent Seven, in one of his final performances. And this season, he's got Ed Asner guesting.
Oh.
Wow.
I thought he was dead already.
He
just looks it.
What's that? that? Is it going to be Anthony's last performance?
Well, I just, it, Russ says he just looks dead.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. He's looked that way since Lou Grant.
I know.
In a nice way.
I thought he was dead then and just hadn't fallen over yet.
Yeah. Well, now, have you ever gone to Paramount Ranch in Agoura?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. I used to ride there all the time.
Yeah, I love that place.
Oh, terrific. Because now it's obviously a great old Western town. On Sunday night, they'll be screening a movie that was shot there, Caught in the Draft, starring Bob Hope, Dorothy Lamour, and Eddie Bracken. Then the big one is the following Sunday, June 4th, they're celebrating the 90th anniversary of Paramount Ranch.
Oh, wow.
They're going to have all kinds of tours and displays and talks by Hollywood historians like Mark Wanamaker and Don Bitz, lots of film clips and stuff shot there. It should be fascinating.
Wow.
Now, has anyone had a chance to catch True West's Best Foreign Western of the Year, The Legend of Ben Hall?
No. Well, I haven't.
I highly recommend it. Terrific story of the Australian Jesse James, Ben Hall.
Okay.
And now the same filmmakers have announced their next movie, The Legend of Ned Kelly.
Okay.
Now, he was the most famous of the Aussie bushrangers or highwaymen.
Right.
The one who was made that suit of armor, he's been played by Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger. Right.
Not successfully. Nah. But I have high hopes for this version. And they've just begun a Kickstarter campaign to finance it. Which, you know, normally I roll my eyes at, but unlike most of those deals, the director, Matthew Holmes, knows what he's doing. He financed the original short subject version of Ben Hall with the Kickstarter campaign, and that's how he made the feature. So, he hopefully, he knows what he's doing much more than most people who do that stuff.
Apparently so.
Yeah. Now, have you heard that the screen's great Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer, will be in Tombstone in August?
For Doc Holliday days.
I'm sorry?
Doc Holliday's?
That's right. He's going to take part, which is about the kind of thing he usually does. So I think that's terrific. Speaking of Tombstone, the movie, of course, Powers Booth, who is wonderful as Curly Bill Brosh, just passed away.
Right. I just read that not too long ago.
Too bad.
I just had the chance to talk to Michael Biehn, who played opposite him as the Ringo Kid, about working with him, and that's going to be coming soon to True West. In September, in Burbank, Kent and Susan McRae will be holding a High Chaparral 50th anniversary celebration. And happily, it's in Burbank this time instead of in Tucson, so more of us can get to it. And Kent was the production manager on the show and on Bonanza. And guests who've already committed to be there include Henry Darrow, who played Manolito.
Right.
Don Collier, Rudy Ramos, Yaphet Kotto. And let's see, last night I got to attend the premiere of a fascinating documentary. It's not a Western per se, but has definite Western interest. It's called Spirit Game, Pride of a Nation. And the nation referred to is the Iroquois Confederacy.
Ah.
It's the true story of the Iroquois Nationals lacrosse team and how for the first time the championship games were held on an Indian reservation. Uh-huh. And on the red carpet I got to speak with Chief Orrin Lyons and the legendary Jim Brown, who played lacrosse together in school.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you ever see Jim Brown in any of his westerns?
Oh, sure. 100 Rifles.
That's the one I like, with him and Raquel Welch and Burt Reynolds.
Right.
That was like the first spaghetti western I saw, and I didn't know it was a spaghetti western. I just thought there was like looping problems with the.
loopy problems.
But, and please pick up the new True West magazine with my cover story on the great Slim Pickens.
We'll do it.
Please, and you can read all about that and more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Wow, you did it again, Henry. Thanks. Hey, you're scheduled to be in the 22nd or the 29th?
I thought you said the 29th.
Then I guess that's the day you're going to be here.
I'll be there.
If you want to bring your friend that criminal court joiner with you, you can.
Outstanding. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, good enough, Henry. Thanks for calling.
My pleasure.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye, Henry.
Okay, Peggy, one last question for you. This is called the writer's block. Have you ever had it?
Oh, yes. And people say it's not true, but I think it is true. It just depends on what you're going through the rest of your life as to whether or not you can create or not create.
I that mean, is
for
true.
Me, I just had a conversation with somebody about this the other day who all of a sudden he can't write. And he's not calling it a writer's block. He thinks it's because of some health issues that he's had and has had some medications that make it difficult. But to me, it doesn't matter why you can't write. If you can't write, you're blocked. And we all have a sweet spot
right.
for when we can write. Some people write best when they're under pressure. Some have to have everything around them good in order to be able to create. Others are, you know, sort of hybrid, and that sometimes they can write, sometimes they can't, depending on the weather. You know, it just depends. We're all different. But yes, I've had writer's block. In fact, I am struggling with the sequel to The Raven's Daughter. I've been working on it for over a year.
And for reals?
Getting stumped for reals.
Oh my gosh!
I keep getting stumped and going back, getting stumped and going back. And
well, we're out of time.
Okay. Well.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners where they can contact you?
All right.
Other than Northern California, in the water. Yeah. We were worried about you for a while.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. You can. You're welcome to email me at pawheeler@gmail.com. So it's P as in Peggy, A as in Ann, Wheeler, writer@gmail.com. You can. I also have a website, but it's kind of wonky right now. I'm working on it. But just peggyawheeler.com.
That's a great word, wonky.
Wonky.
I like that
It's
one.
Wonky.
Me too.
It needs some work. So we're going to get that fixed. But you can still find me there.
Cool.
So, yeah.
If you look wonky up in the dictionary, wonky. It's got my face.
You know what? I believe that. Yeah. I truly do. Next week, we have a writer named Travis Norwood wrote a book called Sugar Scars. And I just finished it today, actually. Great story.
And what's his name?
Travis Norwood.
What a great name.
He'll be calling. We'll
be a character
on phone.
Book.
There you go, new character for you, Peggy. He'll be on phone with us next week when Bobby's back in the studio with us. Mm-hmm. And of course, again, the Pipe and Thimble. They're down in Lomita, California. You can get them on the web. Pipe and Thimble. They're under Publishers, Pipe and Thimble Publishing and Bookstore. You find them, and they don't have a phone, but you know what the hell? You can always just drive down there like I'm going to do.
And where are you going to be next Tuesday morning?
Next Tuesday morning, Russ and I will be sitting right in Studio A next door on the Sam in the Morning Show.
Yeah.
Which we'll just give Sam hell because we love that so much.
Excellent.
And he's great at taking it.
He
dish it out.
Actually, I've been on there 3 or 4 times now, and it's always been such a hoot. It's just a lot of fun.
Now, what time?
Ten o'clock.
Tuesday.
Pacific.
10 o'clock on Tuesday.
I will listen.
With that being said, we're done with another edition of The Writer's Block. Thank you very much for joining us. Oh. Peggy, thank you for being in the studio.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And
it's a real honor.
Thanks for making the special trip down just to be on the radio with us. And I know that's bullshit, but hey.
Actually, it's not.
Okay.
I planned my trip around this.
There you go.
That's great.
Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll be back next Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. For all you Easterners, that's 11 or 10 p.m. your time.
Okay.
And enjoy your week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
And we are out of here.
Okay. Bye.